Mark chapter 3, 31, verse 31. And this is entitled in the NIV, Jesus' mother and brothers. Verse 31, Mark chapter 3. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, standing outside. They sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Jesus asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Well, when we become Christians, the book of Romans reminds us that we are adopted into the family of Jesus, that we join a family of Christians across the planet, across the globe, and we are able to call ourselves sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And indeed, if we are joyful enough, we're able to say we're brothers and sisters in Christ, but we are adopted into a new family. And Jesus was clear and direct in calling people to a first loyalty to himself. So growing as a Christian and being a disciple, he made clear, is the putting off of sinful patterns of unbelief so that we might put on the choices of faith. Somebody likened this once in a sermon that I heard, which was ever so clever. And it was entitled, "What Are You Wearing Today?" And I think it's the section in Colossians where Paul says, put off the old self and put on the new self. And so spiritual growth, discipleship, is a choice about putting off our old self and putting on the new self, the new clothing of Jesus Christ that he gives us. Jesus talks about being transformed and changing and growing. Of course, most of us here, I guess all of us, would be the first to say, "Oh, that's pretty hard to change and pretty hard to grow." Well, yes, and you are in a great company, but Jesus still calls us to put off the old self and put on the new. As we go back, in other words, as we examine some of the patterns that we've picked up that are not always good, we go forward. Think about that for a minute. It's not simply about saying, "I'm going to grow," but we need to examine what we do and why we do those things. And sometimes when we uncover the layers, we realize that things have happened to us, which have affected us and changed us. And perhaps even the patterns and the families in which we grew up in have done things to us which have shaped us and hurt us and damaged us and caused us to have lifestyles and patterns in us, in our thought life, that are not always about healthy Christian growth. We need to examine the past before we can go forward. Now, that's not always easy. I guess most of us would be quite happy just to bury everything. Sometimes we need to go back. And we go back, as we go back, we break some of the destructive powers of the past. And the Bible is full of imagery that says we need to open the darkness of the past to the light of the love of the gospel, the light of the of Christ. And as we open the past and we let God's light come in, so the past is destroyed. And then on a deeper level, Sometimes, you know, we think we've sorted something out, and years later we have to go back again, and look in more and more detail at some of the things that have happened to us as individuals. Thomas Keating compares God's work in us to an archaeological dig, where one civilization is built on another in the same place. Any archaeologists in the congregation today? Don't know if you've ever done this, but and I certainly haven't. Where one civilization, you see what's left behind, and then underneath there's another civilization. I sometimes wonder when I'm doing the recycling, what will be the inheritance of this generation? Do you think that? You know, whereas in the 80s and 90s we threw everything in the bin, what's going to be the picture for us as we fill up our bins? Well, with archaeology, archaeologists excavate level by level, culture by culture, down through history. And it's helpful to think of the Holy Spirit in some ways like a divine archaeologist. When we say, come Holy Spirit, or come Jesus, come God, I want more of you, we shouldn't be surprised then when the Holy Spirit starts to dig up the layers of our past. This is what Thomas Keating says. The Spirit tends to investigate our whole life history. What is your history? And layer by layer, throwing out the junk, preserving the values that were appropriate to each stage of our human development. Eventually, Keating says, the Spirit begins to dig into the bedrock of our earliest emotional life. What was that like for you? Your earliest emotional life. I've come to the conclusion that for myself, that I grew up in a family setting that was not very emotional. What was your emotional family upbringing like? Keating goes on, hence, as we progress towards the center, this is archaeology going on in our lives, where God is actually waiting for us, we are naturally going to feel that we're getting worse. As we dig up stuff in our lives, as we allow the light of the gospel of Jesus to focus on our past. This warns us, he says, that the spiritual journey is not a success story or a career move, it's rather a series of humiliations of the false self. You know, the wonderful thing about church, or perhaps it's not so wonderful sometimes, is that it's full of people with all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of archaeological past histories. And some of those bits and pieces from the past, they hold us back. Some of those bits from the past have injured us. Some of those bits have shaped and formed the kind of person that we are today. And all your ever best intentions to never be like your mum or your father have rapidly shown up before you. Suddenly you realize you're doing exactly what they did. Ouch. And so actually the Holy Spirit needs to set us free and to heal us from the past. The Holy Spirit is here not to embarrass us and not to cause us to feel uncomfortable, but the Holy Spirit wants to grow us into the kind of people that says the past is no longer a threat to us and we live in the blessing of Jesus Christ now. So here's the question I want to challenge you with this morning, and the Holy Spirit wants to challenge us with. What false self are you struggling with that Christ wants to set you free from today? As you look back, if you're able to, not all of us are able to do that. It's too challenging, too uncomfortable. As you look back into your childhood, as you look back into the things that have happened in your life, what does Christ want to set you free from this morning? We have an opportunity to receive prayer. And I want to just to say this morning, there'll be various prayer stations. Actually, we've not talked about where they are, but you'll see them in a minute. They'll form. You don't have to come up onto this stage. You can go back wherever they are. It's not an opportunity to sit and to talk about it. This is where God meets you this morning. And the prayer team just want to put their hands on your, as it were, on your shoulders or your head and just pray that the Holy Spirit would touch you and restore you. But if this morning this raises deeper issues, then you need to talk to somebody outside of this service. That you can sort that out. We can help you with that. But this morning is a moment when the Holy Spirit is saying, let me restore you. Let me set you free. Let me bring your healing. So I'm just going to pray a prayer. And then our prayer team will do the prayer shuffle. And then it's over to you. We're going to put some music on so that the worship team doesn't have to play. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I invite you to dig through the layers of my being that hinder my relationships and communion with others. Grant me perseverance to allow you to dig deeply and excavate out of me all that is not of Christ, that I may be filled with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.